Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the third installment of the 22nd season of the Faith and Life Lecture Series. We're so glad you are here. I'm Pastor Tim Westermeyer, Senior Pastor of St. Philip the Deacon, which is privileged to put these wonderful events on. So thank you for those of you who are here in person for coming out on a cold February day. I've already apologized to our guest tonight that it was so cold in Minnesota, but that's how it goes. And thank you also to those of you joining us online. We're so grateful for your presence. I will say a word first about the flow of the evening for both those of you at home and here. After we hear from our speaker, there will be a chance for all of you, whether you're in person or online, to ask some questions. If you're here in person, we have a mic to my right and to my left. And if you're online, you can either fill in the box on the live stream where it says, "Do you have a question to ask?" and hit send. Or you can send an email to social, so that's S-O-C-I-A-L, social at spdlc.org. And again, we'll do the Q&A session following our guest's remarks, but be thinking of questions you might want to ask him while you're listening to him. I do like to ask at the start of the evening if there are any first-time Faith and Life attendees tonight. If so, raise your hands. Excellent. Special welcome to all of you. We're grateful for your presence. I'm imagining that we have some first-time attendees online as well. Again, as I said, this is our 22nd season of this series. Over that 22 years, we have brought in people from every conceivable walk of life, nonprofit executives, business leaders, authors, journalists, doctors, musicians, and on and on and on. And all of them come to talk about some way that their Christian faith intersects with whatever it is that they do. Over the 22 years we've been holding this event, we've had a handful of athletes or people connected to athletics. And as I was reflecting on it, I think we have had people in more than one, actually, from the NFL or connected to the NFL. We've had one from the NBA and a couple of professional golfers. Until tonight, though, I don't believe we have ever had a baseball player. So that's a first for us, which is great. I'm going to say a couple words about our guest. He was, for 17 years, a player in the major leagues, in the Major League Baseball. He won four World Series. This is a reminder, by the way, don't believe everything you read online. If you go to his Wikipedia page, it says he has won three World Series. That is wrong. He won one with the Mets and then three with the Yankees. The Mets was 86, and by the way, they retired his numbers. The Mets did last summer. The ring he's wearing, if you're wondering about that, is for that event. Apparently we have some Mets fans here. He won three World Series with the Yankees in 96, 98, and 99. He was a starting right fielder for five straight All-Star games, and he played in a total of nine All-Star games. It's a little unclear again. I looked it up on Wikipedia. He said Wikipedia is wrong. He's either one of three or one of four Major League players to have played for every team that is either in New York or used to be in New York. So the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, and the Giants. He also was suspended three times for substance abuse, which in Minnesota we were kind of grateful for because it ultimately brought him to play for the St. Paul Saints in 96. And I did ask him, if you followed the series, by the way, I always ask our speaker, is there something unusual or off the beaten trail that you could tell me as I can say as I introduce you? And he says, not really. Everyone knows everything about me. So will you join me in welcoming Daryl Strawberry?
Well, that was really cool. Thank you, Pastor Tim. It's great to be here. Great to be in the cold weather, of course. Minneapolis, great to be back. Thankful for this lovely place here and wonderful people in St. Paul, the way they treated me and my family when I came and played with the St. Paul Saints. I'll never forget it. Probably was the most incredible time I had and to play baseball and get back into baseball. So the St. Paul Saints really lifted me up to get back to the major leagues, and I would eventually end up winning the World Series with the Yankees that year in 96. So I know a lot of you don't like that because we always beat up on the Twins, but I'm here to say we're not sorry about that either. You know? It's part of it. So But life is good, and thank you, Pastor Tim. Thank you for having me. What a wonderful place. What a remarkable place to be in. For all of you that are here and you that are online, welcome. You know, welcome to Faith in Life. You know, it's so important as people that we understand who we are and the purpose and what this is really all about, you know, because, you know, life truly is about challenges. You know, we're going to have the challenges of life, all of us are, no matter who we are, black, white, pink, brown, rich, poor, ugly, whatever we want to call ourselves, sad. We're all going to go through that period, but who do we turn to when we go through that? You know, there is a place. You know, I'm a living example that there is a place. There is a person, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is there for all of us. He is the Savior of all things, not some things. You know, God is here for us no matter what happens to us. See, most people just looked at what happened to me, but they never knew where I came from. I came from a broken, dysfunction situation. My dad was a raging alcoholic. You know, he came home for the last time when I was 14 years old, drunk again, pulled out a shotgun, said he was gonna kill the whole family. Had it not been for my sweet little old mama getting us out of the house, we would have killed him that night, me and my brothers. So my pain led me to my greatness, and my greatness would eventually lead me to my destructive behavior in life. You know, pain is real. You know, brokenness is real. You know, putting on a uniform and making millions of dollars and living behind community gates don't make you well. They just mean that you got more stuff and more taxes to pay than most folks. And you got to deal with it. It's the life that you are handed and you deal with it. And when you have that, when you're broken, lawlessness continues to bring a broken generation until somebody breaks the curse off of that situation. And why do I say that? Because I am the one that broke the curse off of my children's life. They never have to suffer. They never had to suffer like I did. They never had to go through darkness. They never had to go through trials and tribulations like I did, because I was the one to be able to break the curse. But I didn't break the curse just because I had money and I was famous. You know, I broke the curse because I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now my kids get to look at a man, not just a dad that played baseball, but they get to look at a man that walks in faith, that lives by biblical principles, that understand what life is truly all about and the whole purpose of that. And that was a process. That wasn't like overnight miracle. You know, that was a process of going through. I had to go through a long journey. You know, I ended up in a Florida State prison with a T17169. I ended up in addiction. I ended up with cancer twice. I ended up losing my left kidney in my second surgery. So if you've never seen a miracle, you're looking at one right now. And you know what? I'm not the miracle maker. God is the miracle maker. God takes the mess of what we are and turn it into a message of who he is. And he's always done that. And everybody in the Bible is no different than we are. We are. We're just a different generation of people. You know, you think about, that's not Jesus. You need to turn that phone off. See, we can hear everything when we're up here. But when you look through the Bible and you go through the Bible, it's about people, and they all were just like us. They all had struggles. They all had issues. When you look at Moses, Moses had a speech impediment, and God used him mightily to lead the Israelites out of bondage. When you look at David, God says he's a man after my own heart. He was a womanizer, and he had all kind of behavior. But God goes on to say he's a man after my own heart. Then you look at Peter, you know, who Peter denied Christ three different times. So, you know, when you look and see these things and you understand these things, when you go through this life and you have some experiences in life like I have, and then you get the revelation and you get saved and God transforms you, now you get to really experience abundant life. My life is greater than baseball was ever. Baseball don't even come close to what my life is as a minister of the gospel. I've been preaching the gospel over about 20 years now. I traveled like 270 times a year traveling this nation, preaching the gospel. Why? Because God called me. Because God appoints people. God saves people. God stops people. God rescues people. God gives himself to us so that we can fulfill the promises over our life. The promises over my life was not baseball. The promises over my life was who I am today. And it really had nothing to do with me. Like I said, it's always people helping people. See, the gospel is about people helping people. I'm this person today, not because of anything great about me. See, when I was playing Major League Baseball and living behind community gates and living the heathen lifestyle, my mother was interceding for me and praying for me that God would save me. Her prayers came to pass. She died at the age of 55 from terminal breast cancer. My sister finds a journal under her bed, and she's praying while her son is playing Major League Baseball, and she's praying for all her kids to be saved. She dies, she crosses over, and she goes home to be with the Lord. That's almost 30 years ago. But I'm living the legacy of what she prayed for. In the journal, she was praying to God, save her kids, save her kids. And when she got to me in the journal, she was praying to God that God would knock me off of my throne and save me. Guess what? It happened. It's the prayers of the righteous. It's the prayers that God hears. And we think sometimes God doesn't hear the prayers. God hears the prayers, but God answers people and prayers on his time and not our time. And that's why we have to learn to know who he is. That's why we have to learn to have the real relationship with him, not the in-between relationship with him. Like a lot of people, they say his name, but we deny the finished work on the cross. We deny Jesus hanging on the cross at Calvary, shed his blood. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? But his last words on the cross were so profound, what Jesus said. He said, it is finished. Everything that kills us, Jesus Christ already killed it. He went to the tomb, and early Sunday morning, he got up from the tomb. And when he got up with all power in his hands. So when we die from the flesh of who we are and we obey God's principles, we get to be just like Christ. We get to experience him, his death inside of us. Now we have died from the flesh and now I'm alive in the spirit. The spirit man dwells among me and the spirit of God dwells among us because of what Christ has already done. Not what any man has done. No man will ever do what Christ did. No man will ever go to the tomb and get up. Nobody's getting up once death. Christ got up and he's alive and he's well. And he's sitting at the throne and waiting for us to fulfill our promises and our destiny over our life and what he's called us here for. The purpose of this life is to be saved, be transformed. And go tell someone else about the good news. Not about any great things we accomplished from an earthly thing. I know we dwell on that a lot, Pastor, and people dwell on man achievements. But man, when you get to know God and know his word, you will not want anything else. It's been here forever. It's not going anywhere. I don't know what took me so long to get in to read it. You know, I took forever to finally pick it up for myself. How did I get this way? Well, I had to sit for 7 years. I had to go through a period. You know, when God calls you, you got to go through this period. I had to go through this consecration, and I had to go through this period, and I had to sit in church for like 7 years and go through discipleship and learn who God is. So I wouldn't get up in a pulpit, and when I got up in a pulpit, I wouldn't know what I'm talking about, because if you get up in one of these pulpits, the devil will put a chokehold on you, and he will kill you. That's his whole purpose, is to destroy us. He's got a job to do just like we have a job to do. And Jesus talks about it in John 10:10. He said, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and may have it more abundantly. Jesus talks about, I'm going to give you abundant life. I'm going to give you joy. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you knowledge. And I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you power over all these earthly things. See, today I have tremendous power and wisdom and knowledge because it doesn't belong to me. It's God's gift. And God gives us his gift to use so somebody else can receive freedom, so they can receive rescued, redeemed, and restored. That's the whole purpose of this life, is for people to be rescued and redeemed and restored. You know, I was deep lost in a sinful lifestyle, and I was saved, and I was extended grace. You know what grace is? Grace is something you don't deserve, but he gives it to you anyway. I've gotten to experience the grace of God, the mercy of God. He's very merciful. He's very loving. He's very caring. Faith in life is so important for us all to be able to experience. We shouldn't have, you know, I remember I was lost in addiction and they were saying that, you know, I was bipolar, herpolar, this polar. I ain't no polar since I met Jesus. I ain't addicted to nothing. The only thing I'm addicted to is the Bible. Why? Because it sets you free. It brings nothing but truth. One thing I do know about God is God does not lie. And God cares about people. He cares about what happens to us. Because we live in this false image that we live in this culture and society that makes us believe that no one has problems. We make it like celebrities have it all together. Well, the devil is a liar. Celebrities are the most craziest people you ever meet in your life. You know why? Because nobody ever tells them no. They think they could do whatever they want. But I'm here to tell you, that's a lie. I'm here to tell you, you can pick your sins, but you cannot pick your consequences. The consequences are real. I've experienced them firsthand. The only thing the Lord didn't let happen to me, he didn't let the enemy kill me. He didn't let me die. He kept me. Why did he keep me? For his own purpose, because he's got a great plan. His plan is bigger than you can ever imagine, ever think. I have a high school education, but I got a biblical education from God and from the Holy Spirit. He taught me the Bible supernaturally, and I've been preaching ever since 20 years ago when he called me to preach. He called me to walk away from everything, business and everything, and I thought my life had been redone all over again. Baseball was over, and I was in business and this, and then one day God speaks to me and calls me out of business and say, you're going to preach. I goes, don't you know what I've done? He goes, yeah, you're the perfect example. Why? You know, because he knows that there's no perfect person. There's only one. That was his son that hung on the cross. And he completed the whole task for all of us to experience the abundant life, to be able to do what he wants us to do. We become a descendant. You know what a descendant? We become a descendant. We become a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now I get to eat from a land I don't know about. Now I get to work from a land that I don't know about because it's God's land. Now I get to do some incredible things that I could never imagine or think because of walking in obedience and trusting God, you know. And it's like, what is faith? You know, that's the question we ask ourselves. What is faith, you know? We walk by faith, not by the sight of things. I walk by faith. I live a faithful life now. See, when I played baseball, it was just baseball. Coming and going. Not knowing what's next. Because you're going to get a little bit of everything. You'll get a little bit of every worldly thing. You know, just like the baseball world, they see me today, and it goes, oh, yeah, he's a preacher now, but he'll be back. Well, they've been waiting. It's been 20 years and they're still waiting for me to come back. But what they don't understand is once a man has surrendered himself to Christ, you'll never go back. There's nothing there. I used to straddle that fence like everybody else, and I just didn't want to be a hypocrite no more. I didn't want to talk about Jesus and denying who Jesus really is and denying the finished work that Jesus has done, because he's completed it, and now he allows us to step in with him and be just like him and live such a holy, wonderful, incredible life. Not a fantasy, but a real true life. And to be able to do some of the most incredible things that you can ever imagine. I could never imagine that I was being called and pulled into preaching. You know what my mother did? Because my mother was dying, and she was telling me, and I prayed for her one night in the bed when she was dying. And she goes, "Oh, you could pray." And she said, "God just spoke to me." I said, "What did he say, Mom?" She said, "He said he's going to get it out of you. You're going to go through it." My mother told me this before I went through it. She says, "You're going to go through it, but he's going to get it out of you." Here it is today, 20 years later. I'm preaching all over the nation. I'm an evangelist, been gifted by God, because guess what? I received his mercy. I received his hand. Not the hand of a man, not the looking at the politicians and looking at the society and looking at the sports arena. No, I turned myself from all of that worldly stuff, and I turned my face into God's biblical principles. Now I get to eat. I get to taste and see that the Lord is good. I get to eat from a great land that is greater than anything that money can buy, that stuff can make you feel better. It is God's work. It is God's will. I have a little message, you know, from this point that I wanted to just share tonight, because it's God's will. It is. It's like knowing God's will for your life. You know, the Israelites could have been in the promised land in 11 days. They complained so much, God left them in the wilderness for another 40 years. God is so cool, he'll leave you stuck if you want to stay stuck. But let me just say this about the wilderness. The wilderness is not bad, because I had to go through the wilderness. God taught me something in the wilderness. The wilderness of my life that I had to go through was to make me grow. The wilderness is for you to grow. Either you grow and you pass the test, or you don't. See, the Israelites complained because Moses had a speech impediment and they thought he was not a great leader. Moses was a great leader. God picked him to lead them out of bondage, you know, because of his meekness. You know, Moses couldn't speak, but you know what God loved about Moses? He walked with humility. When you learn these things, then you learn more about yourself, how we're supposed to be here. You know, Moses walking with humility, God would lead him to lead the Israelites out of bondage. He didn't get to go into the promised land, but he got a chance to see it. But he led them. And he did miracle after miracle. And they saw the miracles, and guess what? They still didn't believe. That happens to a lot of us too. We see the miracle, we hear the miracle, and we still don't believe it's God. Well, when you go home tonight and you online, when you realize that this man has been transformed by God, you'll know God is real. Because no man can transform you and give you the revelation of his will down inside of you but God himself. But God's will, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. See, that was me. The That's a lot of us in this nation. God is talking and speaking. If my people who are called by my name, that's us, the Gentiles, just like the Jews. That was the Jews back then in that text there, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, God was talking. He's talking about us too, the Gentiles. If we humble ourselves and know that we're called by God, then we can answer the call. See, I don't debate about the gospel. I may debate about some other things, but I don't debate about all these other things, worldly things, because I do know this book here has been here forever, and it says heaven and earth gonna pass away, but not my word. And this book says my people perish because of lack of knowledge. You know, there was worldly knowledge I had, but now I have kingdom knowledge. It's greater than worldly knowledge, because everything that comes from his kingdom is holy, is righteous, is freedom, is peace, is joy, is love. It's such a great gift when you finally receive that from him. That's what faith in life is all about. You know, it's receiving from him, not the outside noise, because if you receive from the outside noise, you'll never know that you've been called. Every last one of us has been called by him. It's just those that answer the call. You know, this society wants us to chase after everything else. Look, I've been there and done that. It's not going to save you. I don't care how big the house was, how much fame, how many trophies I held up. That is not going to get me into the kingdom. What's going to get me into the kingdom is know that I've been called by God. God created every last one of us. He knows everything about every last one of us. Isn't that scary? He knows it. He knows from every string on your head. He knows everything. He's everywhere. God misses nothing. He sees everything. He knows how to stop the enemy. He knows how to block the enemy. He blocked the enemy out of my life. He blocked him. Because the enemy's purpose is to deceive us and destroy us. He don't care who you are. That's his number one purpose. Because he wants company at the end of your life. Well, too bad, because I realize I've been called. Then we must humble ourselves in that text. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, humble myself and walk in humility. You know what God loves? God loves a humble servant, not a prideful one. Not an ego. You know what an ego is? Three-letter word. Ego, easing God out. That's what ego stands for. Because I push God right out. Oh, God, I don't need you. Okay, I could take care of this myself. But what do we do most of the time without God in the center of our life? We make a mess out of everything. We make a mess out of our life, our family, the kids, because we're too busy trying to conquer. Conquer what? That's what I was trying to do when I was playing Major League Baseball. Conquer. Conquer what? Conquer the success. Yes, that's great. But what's after that? There's nothing after that. I've been to the top of the mountain when I played Major League Baseball. Guess what? Nobody's home. Nobody's your friend. Everybody's there because of what you have and what you're doing. Wait till it's all over and done. Your name, whatever. That's why most guys stay around sports. They can't get away. They can't take the uniform off. They wanted me to come back and be involved in sports. I said, no, I'm going and I'm following God. Why? Because of two women. My mother praying for me and my wife, Tracy, who the Lord used to lead me back in church and straighten me out. Guys, you know that woman that God gave you? Oh, yeah, she's a good thing. She helped me. We've been missing it because of what a society tells us. Well, I'm a man, I'm strong, I'm this, I'm that. No, you forgot. God doesn't make mistakes. He gives us the perfect thing that we need in our life to help us, to help shape us and mold us and get us to where he needs to get us. And that's what my life is today. My life has been shaped because I listened to my wife. Didn't make me a lesser man. It made me a better man. It brought so much joy and peace and victory in my life. Now I get to experience it in what I do because I allowed her to be the helpmate that God gave me in this walk of life. Because you know what happens? This life goes fast. And it's not stopping for anyone. And that's why you have to humble yourself and you have to pray and you have to seek. You have to pray. You know, it's like prayer is the answer to all supplication. You have to pray to God. You have to ask God. I talk to God all the time. You know, I sit here right in front of you today and I know God's good. How do I know that? I'm coming up on 1 year, March 11th, next month, 1 year off a massive heart attack. And God saved me. God spared me. I went into the hospital and my heart was at 40%. And the doctor says, I don't know how you're alive. I says, well, I do, I know somebody. And he goes, no, I really don't. I said, I really do know somebody, trust me. And he was amazed, you know, and I had to wear this defibrillator for 2 months, and I had to wear this bra for 2 months. Now I know what it's like for women to wear bras. It's very uncomfortable, you know. I had to I had to go through this process. I had to experience all this, and I was like, oh my God, man, I can't sleep in this thing, you know. And it was just the real reality of, you know, going into that surgery. And when I was going into that surgery, and my wife was going the other way, and I was going into the surgery, and I was like, God, I'm okay. I said, I win either way. If you keep me here, I win. If you don't, I win. And that's a great place to be in your life, to know with God that you do win, you know. And that's a question a lot of us got to ask ourselves. Do we really know that? Do we really understand that winning is real with God? There's life and death, and it's coming. Don't know when. It can happen at any given time. But are you ready? Obviously, my wife wasn't ready for me to go. So she's the one rushing me to the hospital, and she pays more attention to me than I pay attention to myself. So that's really a good thing, because had it not been for her, I wouldn't be standing here today. It was her rushing me to the hospital to get me there, not waiting. And the doctor said, you've been in heart attack mode for 5 days. And I was on the road traveling, preaching, and I knew something was wrong, and I kept telling my wife. She said, you need to get back home. I said, I will after I finish the road trip. I finished the road trip. But that's from being so stubborn like we are as a man. You know, I got this. I'm strong, you know. Little did I know, my main artery was shut down. But that's faith. That's faith. I walk by faith, not by the sight of things. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, I do know one thing about God, that he works behind the scenes. He probably can come out front and show off, but he doesn't. He likes to work behind the scenes to show you how great of a miracle maker he really is. I've experienced a lot of things in this life, and you probably have too, some of you, but I've never experienced anybody like the Lord. You know, he is great. He is different. He is the great I am. He is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. And he truly was wounded for our transgression, and he was bruised for our iniquity. By his stripes, of what he paid the price at Calvary, we get to be healed because of him. He is gracious. He extends himself to you. He says, come, I'm here. Make peace with me. You don't have to make peace with anybody else. But you got to make peace with God. That's the most important thing in this life, in this journey for us, is to make peace with God. Because when you do make peace with God, He heals you. That blood that He shed it on the cross is holy blood. And when it comes in you, into you, it purifies you, liberates you, redeems you, and washes you, and cleanses you from everything. And it makes you hold with Him and right with Him. That's the purpose of this life. The purpose of this life is not about what I will achieve from an earthly standpoint. The purpose is what I will achieve from a kingdom standpoint. It's the kingdom of God that is at hand. And His people, we are. If my people who are called by my name, that's us. He's talking about us right now. If we know that we're called by His name and we pray and seek and return, then He forgives you. He forgives the sin of us, of the shortcoming. People always ask me, Mr. Darrell, aren't you a sinner? I goes, yeah, I just don't practice anymore. Why? Because I've learned and I've gotten and received a biblical education, the highest education you can get. Nothing's lacking in it. It's greater than any education, any book you go to, school you go to. It is the greatest education a man can give to himself. Because it was the way we were supposed to live a long time ago, from the beginning, from Genesis 3, Adam and Eve. That's when the fall came. One man would fall short. God would bring His Son to the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus would come and He would extend the grace for all of us to be able to receive this abundant life and be able to live in such a way and live at peace and live at strength and live at confidence and know that everything's going to be all right no matter what. My kids will be taken care of because I'm not the tail, I'm the head of the operation. Now, when the head of the operation is in his rightful place, God will take care of your seed. I've experienced it firsthand in my own personal life. Not because I'm Darryl Strawberry, Major League Baseball player. It's because I'm born again. I've been born of a new spirit. And I've been born of His Spirit, which is a righteous spirit. And it doesn't make us any better than anybody else. I tell people all the time, I've just made a better decision for myself. You know, like I said, the players, you know, that I played baseball with, I go back to reunions, they'd be like, oh, you're different. But they're like, oh, well, he'll be back. No, you don't understand 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You become totally new when you're walking with Christ. When you're truly walking with Christ, you become a totally different person. You become a person of faith, and you get to live the abundant life that is here. Most of us never think we can live an abundant life. I never thought I could live an abundant life. I am living an abundant life. I started this journey with nothing over 25 years ago with my wife, Tracy. I was $3 million in debt and didn't have a driver's license. I was like, God, you got a great sense of humor. You calling me to ministry. But do you know what God did for me and Tracy? He gave us an abundant life because of obedience. Got us out of debt, gave us more than we was in debt, and gave us a ministry to go travel this nation and bring hope to people. That is His whole purpose for us. That is what faith is really all about. We have to trust God. Even when it doesn't look good, we have to trust Him. We learn to trust God. We learn to walk with God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 talks about it. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. But it says, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. He has the greatest plan for your life than you can ever imagine. We try to make our own life and our own journey and make it work for ourselves. But if you put your life in His hands, He will take care of you. I promise you that. I am a living witness. God has taken care of me. I've been walking with one kidney over 24 years now, 25 now, coming into this year. 25 years walking with one kidney and living a life that is full. Why? Because of faith, not because of anything else. It's the faith of a man. When a man makes that enter with God and walk in faith, God crowns him and He opens up the door and He gives him favor in the land. God has blessed me and given me tremendous favor in this land. And I don't deserve it. None of us do. But He does it anyway. So He's just looking for people that's available. Those of us that make ourselves available to Him. Sweet music. He's got such a blessing for you. You won't even be able to understand it if you walk with Him and you trust Him. I promise you, I am a man that stands on holy ground that believes God's purpose and God's plan for all of us is that we should experience His fullness. And I'll close with this one scripture, Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. It is His power that comes in us and works in us, that expands us, that gives us the gift to go love somebody else and help somebody else that don't even look like you. That's Christ. That's His love. That's what He gives to us freely to give back to others. So thank you for taking your time out, you online and you here tonight. Thank you for taking your time out tonight to come hear about a man that was once lost, but truly now been found because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He's the end to all of it. Trust Him. I promise you, you'll never go wrong. Let us pray. Father, we love You. Father, we thank You. Father, we thank You for the time and the words You've spoken over us. Without You, Father, I'm nothing. I'm just another person walking around on earth trying to achieve things to say, look at me. But Father, I want to always remember to point people to Your Son, Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the one who's going to come back one day to rescue us from all of this. We thank You for that time, and we thank You for the strength You give us. Let us continue to love people. Let us continue to witness to people. And let us always remember to glorify You in everything that we do. We give You honor and praise and send this petition up to You, and we ask that You would seal it over this night, over every person that's in here and every person that's online watching. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Daryl. And congratulations on your upcoming anniversary. You did win either way, but we also won by having you here, so thank you. I'm going to let him rest his voice for a second. Again, there's an opportunity for you all to ask questions in just a few minutes. I'm going to make a couple of announcements, though. Beginning with, I want to be sure to let you know about the next Faith and Life event. If you got our material in the fall, early on when we promoted things, the next event was promoted as being on March 20th. As you will see in the program tonight, that date has now moved. So if you have an old bookmark or old letter from us, please note that. It's a week later. So again, Tom Wagner will join us for Faith and Resilience, March 27th, 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary again. If you follow us on social media or if you go to our website and sign up for our emails, we'll communicate all of that with you. But we hope to see you for that as well. He's going to be a wonderful speaker. He's coming in for the whole day. He's actually going to be doing an event earlier in the day for some pastors in town and for some people involved in mental health issues. But we were delighted to be able to bring him here for Faith and Life. I also want to say actually a couple things about other events happening in the sanctuary. If you followed us for the last 22 years, you know that Faith and Life is not a bait and switch. It's not a chance to make you come to other things related to this congregation. However, we have a couple fun opportunities coming up, and I think I would be remiss if I didn't let you know about them. So we have a lot of things going on, but later in February, on Sunday the 23rd, here in the sanctuary, we will feature the Gustavus Choir. I share that information with you as a St. Olaf graduate, and yet I'm happy to promote them as well. So 3 o'clock, that is free and open to the public, again, here in the sanctuary. So Sunday, the 23rd of February. And then later that week, the 28th of February, that's a Friday, we're actually going to show Charlie Chaplin's movie Gold Rush. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's the 100th anniversary of that film. And the sort of spin we're doing on it is we're having an organist from New York, Jason Roberts, do the music, the soundtrack for that movie in real time. So he will sit at our beautiful organ and improvise the soundtrack to Charlie Chaplin's Gold Rush in front of you all. Well, if you come, if you will anyway. I hope you do. So again, that's Friday, February 28th. And then I want to say a few words of thanks. Again, for 22 years now, this series has been able to welcome wonderful speakers like Daryl Strawberry at no cost to any of you. It's actually not a budget item of the church. It is supported entirely and completely by the generosity of individuals and organizations. They're listed in your program tonight. I will lift up simply a few of them. Crossroads Financial Group, I know that we have representatives from there tonight. They've been a longtime sponsor. Cressa, Mally Design, Mastercraft Labels, Valuation Group, Productivity Inc., Rapid Packaging, and Bay Creek Dental are our corporate sponsors. A whole lot of other people support us. And also Jeff Elstead supports us with his music, so thank you, Jeff. Many of the people who support us, though, financially are here tonight. Will you join me in thanking them for making these events possible? And I did that backwards. Please applaud for Jeff as well. He's awesome too. Okay, I'm going to turn it back to our speaker. If you have questions and you're here in the house, again, please come to one of the mics. I have received a few questions already online, but if you want to send a question online again, send it by email to social@spdlc.org or fill in the box in the live stream. And Daryl, I'll have you come back up.
Mr. Strawberry, Brother Strawberry, if I could call you that, I'm going somewhere with this. You said you got to make peace with God. You don't have to make peace with anyone else, but you got to make peace with God. In brotherly love, I'm going to push back just a little bit. Because I believe that since God has made peace with us, I have no choice but to make peace with my fellow humans.
Well, yeah.
Wait.
Okay.
In 1986, I was a senior in high school and a born and bred Houston Astros fan.
Oh, my God.
So I'm wondering if you can help me with something.
You coming to make peace with me? I know. Poor Astros, we beat them, right? Yeah. You're an Astro fan. That's really good. You know, I mean, honestly, we do have to make peace with God first. And then we have to forgive others. And I say that because I made peace with my father, because my father was like the raging alcoholic and beat the crap out of me. He told me I'd never amount to nothing. I went on to play Major League Baseball, and I kept him out of my life, my career, and he didn't know his grandkids. And God saved me and changed me. When he was in a hospital and he had a stroke, God sent me to the hospital, and I had to repent to my father, and I had to ask him to forgive me for keeping him out of my life and career. And I did in the hospital bed, and he said yes, a tear came out of his eye, and I lost it. I laid there and cried so hard. Then God said, raise up later, and I ended up leading him in the center prayer, and I led him to the Lord. 6 months later, he passes away. So that's why it's so important to not hold somebody else hostage. You got to extend that grace that's been given to you. You got to extend it. I mean, it was one of the hardest things that I ever had to do. But when I did that with my father, I was free forever. I was never the same. I was a totally different person. Everything broke off me. There was no more anxiety, no more this, no more angry at him, because I had gotten free from it. God set me completely free from it. So trust that process. Another Matt had. Okay.
I grew up in Virginia Beach. You had a cup of coffee with the Tidewater Tides, and I enjoyed watching you there. I have two questions, a faith question and a baseball question. First, the faith question. Your wife, Tracy, played a key role, obviously, in your faith journey. How did you meet, and how did you know that it was God's hand at work that she came into your life? And the baseball question, who is your favorite teammate from the 86 Mets?
Yeah. That's a good question. How did I know? It was a process. I mean, it takes time to watch somebody else. See, what happened was, is I watched my mother walk in faith. My mother was a faithful woman. I don't know why. I don't know where I came from to be a heathen. You know? But she was a very faithful woman, and she lived her life for Christ. And Tracy came in my life, and she did the exact same thing that my mother did. She lived a faithful life. You know, she gets up every morning. We've been together 25 years now. She gets up every morning and 5:30 in the morning and goes study and be with God in the other part of the house. I was like, God, I ain't getting up at 5:30 in the morning. But I realized that, you know, I wanted what she had because she was just like my mother. So for me to be able to get to where I needed to get, I needed to do something different. I needed to apply myself to what she was doing. And she was faithful to God. You know, she was like, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be faithful to God. And I wanted that, and I ended up getting that because I saw that, you know. And so that was so important for me, you know, to recognize that through my mother and through her, you know. That I always say God's got a great sense of humor, you know, because I was playing Major League Baseball, and I was all this wild, crazy womanizer, and God bring two women into my life to straighten me out. Be careful what you do. You just don't know who God's going to use to straighten you out. So that's what happened in that situation. My favorite player was Gary Carter. Gary Carter was a strong believer. He was a Christian. He lived the right way. All the rest of us were wild and crazy, you know, and playing and living in that life. And he was a guy that lived in faith. He didn't drink. He didn't go out. He didn't run around and stuff like that. And, you know, I admired him. I wanted what he had, but I just didn't want to do what he was doing. He was a great example to all of us what a man's supposed to live like. You know, he loved his wife, he loved his kids, and he just did it the right way, you know. And a lot of guys were like teasing him because he was drinking wine cooler. Shoot, I wish I could have been drinking wine cooler back then. There you go. That's a great way to live. If you want to, you know, wherever you at in life and you want to be a great example and you live the right way, let me say this to you. People are watching. You may never think they're not watching you, but they are watching you. Because it's something about a man when he lives right. You notice it. I mean, I played Major League Baseball, and I've been around a lot of players, and a lot of players proclaiming Christ, but I've never seen guys live the way Gary Carter and Mookie Wilson live. I've seen a lot of guys talk about being a Christian, living a Christian life, but they don't live that way. I saw those guys with my own eyes live a Christian life, and I've always been impressed with the way they live their life.
Thank you for sharing your faith story tonight.
All right, thank you.
Well, Mr. Strawberry, obviously you talked a little bit about when the doublehead is chokehold on you and you were left there. You didn't know what to do, but God gave his grace and saved you. What steps did you begin to take when that chokehold got so much and you tried to find your way out of it? What steps did you take to find your way to God?
Well, like I said, it's one of those things. I mean, I guess because of the lifestyle that I lived, the Lord already know who you are. Of course, he created me. He knew who I was and he knew the lifestyle that I was living. So it took time. It took discipline. It took time being in church committed, which a lot of us don't really do enough, you know, and you got to be consistent. I had to be consistent of being in church and being a part, going to Bible studies and group things, and, you know, just like Pastor's talking about up here. Man, if you want this, man, it's here. It's here. It's not out there. And that's where we'd be missing it. You know, because we don't come and we're not consistent with it and we don't get it and we don't think it works. This here works. It's those that participate in it. It's those that show up in it. When it's hard, when it doesn't feel good, and you keep pressing through and you're always here and you're being a part of it and you're giving and you're sowing and you're putting time in, this is how you get well. Doesn't happen any other way. If it wasn't for me constantly going to church and being in church, I would have never been well. I love church. You can't keep me out of church. Because it's the greatest thing that happens in our life is being in church and hearing God's will for our life. This is where God speaks. Yeah, he speaks to us when we're on our own times, but this is where God speaks. And he brings his revelation to you by being here. This is how I got the revelation. I started running to church and being in church all the time. And that's where the revelation comes from.
Thank you.
Come to church, kid.
Hi, Mr. Strawberry.
How you doing?
First off, I gotta say, big fan. When I was growing up, you were my favorite player. And when
Thank
I found out that you were gonna come to my church, I was really excited. In fact, I wore number 18 all the way from Little League to high school because of you.
I gotta give you a hug.
I was crushed when you changed to 44, though, the Dodgers. I'm just joking. You mentioned that your mom was a big influence on your journey and your faith with Christ. Growing up, when you mentioned these hardships you had, like when your father left, did she keep you that foundation in you, and did you go to like church a lot when you were a kid, or did that come later on in life? Because I'm just curious if that was kind of like the start of your faith with the hardship you had there and your mom keeping that foundation with you.
Yeah, it was because of watching her raise five kids by herself and doing everything and making sure we had everything that we needed, and watching her being in church all the time played a big part in who I am today. I knew she was special to be able to take care of five kids and not give up on us. You know, as hard as life can be and hard life can get, you know, when you have, you know, kids at home and they don't listen, they do what they want, and you know, we were no different than anybody else, and she just kept going, and she kept going, and she kept staying faithful to God, and kept standing in church and around church, and we knew that she lived the right way. You know, we knew that she didn't go off and get a man and get remarried or anything like that. She didn't. She was just like sold out to the Lord, and she just stayed in church, and she raised her kids and watched us, and she prayed for us, and she made sure she covered us. Her covenant over us is the example of what I am today. Not only for me, but I would end up leading my entire family to the Lord. You know, because of mom. You know, because of mom's faithfulness, and it led me to the Lord, and then it would end up leading my brothers and sisters. So it just has a, such a major effect on the whole family when one really walks this right and keep walking, and no matter what it may look like and no matter what others may not do. If your husband don't come to church, you keep coming to church. Your wife don't come to church, you keep coming to church. You know, because you are going to have the impact. God does not miss anything. And that's what people need to know. We think God is short of missing out on things, and he's not. You know, he knows what he's doing. You know, it's just a matter of somebody stepping in the middle for them. And that's what my mother did for us. She stepped in the middle for us. And she went to church all the days of her life. And then when she died, we were left to figure it out. And we knew we had to figure it out. Because we knew mom was right with God.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello, Mr. Strawberry.
Hello.
Sorry to say that, Mike.
You finally got a lady. Thank God.
Lifelong baseball fan. Sorry to say that Kirby Puckett was my childhood hero, though. my dad always taught me, you know, you can turn to God. And I've had friends and acquaintances in my life, and I don't try to shove my religion down their throat, but I always try to say what my dad told me, you can always turn to God and have faith. And I had one friend one time who asked me, well, why does God allow bad things to happen? And he, for example, mentioned like Jacob Wetterling. I don't know if you're aware of it, but I'm sure many people here are, the young boy who was abducted back in the 80s and raped and killed or whatever. And he said, how can a God allow things like that to happen? How can you trust him? How can you have faith in him when he allows bad stuff like that to happen? And I don't know what to say.
That's so funny. I know, because I used to think the same thing. And, you know, it's, you know, when I learned about God, it takes for us to learn who God is, you know, before we question him, because so many of us will question him about why do these things happen like this, why this, and, you know, it's part of what we all have to experience here. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love us, because things happen. And, you know, we have to understand this here, this is a falling world. It's falling, you know, it's falling short. God is here to pick us up when we do fall short. He already know we're going to fall short. Did I know that God knew I was going to fall short through the cracks? I did not know that, but he knew that. But he knows if we turn to him, and we turn to him wholeheartedly, the mind thinking of him, you know, it's the heart. You know, when we give him our heart and we turn to him, then he helps us. You know, he helps us through this process of this journey that we're going to go through here. We all going to go through this journey here. We all see, what we don't understand is the Bible makes it clear that we all will fall short of the glory of God. Not some of us, that everybody comes here will fall short. And some situations are more difficult and hard, and to be able to understand, you know, we can't comprehend it. I can't comprehend it either, some of the things that happen and the natural disasters and the tragedies and everything that happens. It's a real reality. I do know one thing, that if my heart is not right with him, I'm going to miss out on seeing him. And I think that's what he's talking about us as people, is having a heart right with him. Because we don't know the day of a tragedy. We just had one in D.C. with the helicopter and an aircraft. I was like, oh my God, I've flown through that airport so many times, I'm not flying through there anymore. You know, because of the traffic, and I know how serious it is. And I've been through there and I saw that before, and I was like, for the grace of God, there go I, that could have been me. You know, but I do know if that do happen, I do know if a tragedy like that happens, I'm on an aircraft like that, I know I'm going home. I'm not worried anymore. So that's what you got to be concerned with more than anything, not by why do things happen. Things are going to happen. But that doesn't mean God is not seeing everything. You know, he's a loving God. People say, well, why is he a loving God? Why does he allow these things to happen? God doesn't allow these things to happen. We as people down here allow these things to happen. You know, we create a lot of this stuff on our own, you know, of falling short. So Don't, honey, God loves you.
Yeah, I know.
All right?
Thank you.
Don't you ever worry about what somebody else thinking, then they're going to miss out on God. You just keep going with God, because God is crazy about people. And always remember that. I don't care what you go through, God loves you and he's crazy about you. All right?
I know. Right. Thank you.
All right. Yes.
Early on, you talked about joy. And my question for you is, how have you experienced joy either in your ministry or how God came to you in expressing joy? And since we're only 12 miles from the ballpark, you're in Twins country.
Never.
What do you think of Kirby Puckett?
Oh, I love Kirby. I knew Kirby personally. It was one of a kind. You know, sad that he died so young. What a great, not just a great ball player, but what a great person he was. It was heartbreaking. You know, heartbreaking when you see guys that you played with and been through, and they all dying. You know, Fernando this year, Ricky Henderson. You know, Ricky Henderson in better shape than me, and he. You know, he's gone. You know, so that's the reality that we live in. Joy comes from the Lord. You know, it's the greatest joy a man can give to himself is walking with him and having a relationship, because it's different. You know, I don't have a concern, I don't have a worry. I'm not wrapped up into anything. I'm just, you know, living my days out and waiting to God to take me home, you know, right? Because I know that's going to come, you know. So, and that's going to be a real joyful day. You know, I want my kids to really be able to see that and experience that, because I got to experience that with my mother when she died right in front of us that Sunday morning. You know, it was heartbreaking. It was hard, but, you know, I know deep down inside of her heart, she had great joy realizing that she's about to cross over and go home and all my kids are right here to see it. You know, and it left us in a place where we needed to get our heart right with God. So that's the example that we all have, you know, to be able to give to our children and give to, you know, our loved ones, is that we have great joy and peace with God, that we know we're going home. I mean, this is not home. This is just a pass-through. You know, and when you realize that, then you realize that you can have great joy. Yes.
Good evening. You mentioned Ricky and Fernando, and could you comment on two players that I know gave so much back to Major League Baseball, Bobby Mercer and Don Newcomb?
Bobby Mercer?
And Don Newcomb.
Yes. Bobby Mercer and Don Newcomb, yes. They gave a lot back to the game of baseball. Yes, they are ambassadors of the game and gave so much back. You know, so many players give so much back. But I think the most important thing is not giving back so much to baseball. I think giving back to life. I think that's the key right there. God gives you a platform, and he wants you to utilize it for his good and give back and be more than just a baseball player. You know, be a human being, because, you know, being athletic is great, but what does it all mean at the end of your life if you hadn't done anything with it? You know, and so many never end up doing anything with what God has given them, what God has put in our hand. I'm so glad that I recognized that from, you know, my mother, to be able to recognize what's important. You know, and my mother told me, it's not important to be important. I couldn't walk in the house with a baseball cap on. Some of you got caps on in here. My mother looked at me like I was crazy with a baseball cap on. She's like, you better take that cap off before I knock it off your head in this house, you know? So I learned a lot, you know, and so I hope that's what's really important for all of us, is, you know, to truly learn a lot, you know, because this life goes fast. You know, I'm 62. I know some of us, we're getting up there in age, and it's time and moving on, and God's going to call you home. He's going to call your name, just like he called Job's name. He's going to call your name. He's going to call my name. And will you be ready? And that's what you got to really ask yourself, you know, at this point in time in your life. Am I really ready? You know, if God called me home. If God called me home today, I'll go. Why? Because we are in such a broken, wicked, culture of people that hate God, that doesn't love anything but everything else they love. And they put it in God's face, and God will not be mocked. You know, the day will come, you know, that he's going to return. He's going to return for his church and his people. So prepare yourself, you know, think about that. You know, time for some of us is running out. I know time's running out for me, you know. I'm okay with it. I come to that realization. My wife's not okay with it. She think, oh, you're going to live forever. I goes, I don't want to live forever. You know, so, yes, go ahead, sir.
Somebody told me the other day I look like I have 1 foot in the grave already.
Well, I'll take your other foot, Dan. Give me your other one.
Jim Ashworth, I'm the one that wrote you the letter when you joined the Saints, inviting you to come over to my house and play pool. If you remember that letter.
Wow. That was you?
That was me. I've got something special I'd like you to sign later, too. But my question is, you were good friends with Dwight Gooden, and he had a lot of trials. I was just wondering if you were able to help him any.
Well, that's a good question, you know, because a lot of people think, you know, when one changes his life like I have, and I've been like this for a long time now, and they were like thinking, well, it's not real. You know, that's what people look at. Like, oh, there's no way he's living like that. And, you know, I don't try to force myself on anyone. You know, I don't try to force, look at me and say, look at me. No, I just try to live it and be an example. So he's still, you know, up and down, still struggle, you know, has his struggles, hasn't come from out of the darkness. He's still out there. And I've been over on his side. And like I said before, you know, the best example for one to be is by your action. You know, you don't have to talk about it. You know, you just actually live it, and people are watching, and they know it's real. And you know, the guys that I play with, so many of them, they know it's real now. They're just like, yeah, he ain't coming back. Ain't there's nothing back there. Or you're gonna talk about baseball, drinking, women. It's dead. It's over. Done. You know, guys got to learn how to take the uniform off and become a man. You know, if you never take that uniform off, or you never take that hat off, or what you do, you're never going to experience how great God is. You're going to miss God. And I almost missed God because I was that same person trying to figure out who I am still with the baseball uniform on. You know, I no longer feel that way. I know who I am. I know the purpose of life. And, you know, it's about going out and being a servant for God and love people and help people. You know, because that's what, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. You know, it's what Christ came for. Christ came for people. You know, he came for the hurting, the broken, the lost. He wasn't hanging out with the scribes and the Pharisees. He was hanging out with the broken and the lost people, and he saved them. And that's what he gives us the ability to do, too, by being an example. Thank you. Feel better. Mm. Go St. Paul. Go Saints.
Hey, Mr. Ashworth.
Oh, you know
baseball.
Him?
I played baseball at Coleman Park. He used to announce our games.
You played baseball at a home park with him?
Park, he taught. Yeah, he used to announce our games. What's up, Jim? It's Teal. I used to carry.
There's no way you played with him. He's too old for you.
To announce the games. No. I used to carry his speaker out there, and he'd play his little tapes in between innings, announce everybody. He was really good at it.
Oh, he was okay?
Yeah. So I grew up in St. Paul, right down the street from Midway Stadium. We used to run them train tracks behind there and sneak through the fence and hang with Michigan and the K-Fan stuff and gather a little home.
Yeah.
First little question, how close did you ever get to hitting that tower, the fire tower?
Which one?
At Midway Stadium with the Saints, that fire tower
right
right field.
How close did I get?
Yeah, in BP at least, or something.
Oh.
They had the sign that was like, hit the tower, you get...
Yeah, but it doesn't count in BP.
I was just wondering how, because that thing had to be like 600 feet away.
It's just BP, you know?
How close did you get even in BP?
I probably got close. I mean, I've been close to a lot of places. I mean, I hit some pretty long home runs in St. Paul. The St. Paul Saints made me enjoy baseball again. I'm thankful for their fans.
Heck yeah.
I'm thankful for the people, Mike Beck and all those guys, and Marv. They did a great job. They did a great job over there. It's remarkable, you know, the way the people were over there.
So I played ball for the U of M, and you know, we got a history of St. Paul guys in the Hall of Fame now.
Yeah.
We got four. So if you got any stories about any of those guys, and you can include crew chief Tim Cheetah in that, Eddie Story that. Nobody said anything or touched on your championship that you won with Mr. Burns there in Homer at the Bat. So you got any story on that? Touch on that too.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, man.
This is strawberry juice, not mixture.
I love it. I got to sign it for you. What other guy? I got to give him a hug too. So, yes.
I want to thank you so much for your words and your message that you have tonight. You talk about the ministry that you do going across the country. Do you have an opportunity to be talking with young people?
Yes, I do. I've done a lot with young people. My heart is for young people. I've seen what has happened in this nation and the epidemic with our young people that all got addicted to opiates and pain pills and started losing their life. And I had two treatment centers down in Florida, recovery treatment centers, and I'd never seen anything like it before in my life. I was heartbroken seeing so many young people. It was like a revolving door. It was like all white suburban kids addicted to opiates and heroin and all dying. And I was working with a group and they didn't really care, you know, much. And I got out of it because, you know, they kept giving the kids Suboxone and sending them back out and they go back out and use again, OD. So we got a problem. We've had a problem for a long time in this nation, you know, of helping our young people. And I think the most important thing that I've learned about young people is they're starving for attention, and all they want you to do is listen to them. That's really it. You know, they're smart as ever. Their IQs are off the chart. They know about MySpace, HerSpace, this space. You know, and they know all the social outlets and everything. And they, like I said, they just don't feel comfortable inside of themselves trusting people. And I don't know why. You know, something's happened with that younger generation that they don't trust people anymore. They looked at what we go through and what we do, how we deal with each other and how we treat each other. And they don't want that. They don't want to be a part of that. And it's led them to all the wrong things. So, you know, hopefully something good can come out of this generation before it's too late. That's, you know, I spend a lot of time with young people. I'm glad you asked that question. I went to a lot of schools and I spent a lot of time with young people. I wanted to hear what's important to them. You know what they told me? I said, what's the most important thing? I had a round table talk with kids. And I said, what's the most important thing? Number one thing. And they said, and I said, what's the number two most important thing? And they said, being liked on social media. And I was like, because see, we didn't grow up with that. So we don't have a problem with it. I told them, we don't have a problem. They goes, but this is the way life is for us. If you don't have a cell phone, you don't have a group, and you're not in the social clique, then you're outcast. You can't be in. And that's why we have so much drug and so much suicide with young people, is because they feel like they don't fit, they're nowhere in. So, you know, I'm hoping that we can get them back to these principles, biblical principles, get them to know that God loves them and change their heart. So.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I think we're going to, there were a lot of questions online. For those of you watching online, thank you for them. I was trying to get to them and we kept having so many questions here. I think a number of them ended up being asked in a different way from folks in the house here. But again, thanks for the questions online. Thanks to all of you for joining us and coming out. It's always a delight these evenings to have a chance to share important things. So thanks for being here, thanks for being online, and most importantly, to Daryl Strawberry. Thank you for being here. And we've got a little gift for you. A plaque that says, thanks to Daryl Strawberry for bringing faith to life.